And I have from Pimentis a psychologist, Sandra Lamb, on the line to chat about National Day of Action Against Bullying and Violence. Very serious issue, and kids are being affected by it more than ever, it seems. Sandra, morning to you.
Good morning, Alan.
I thought the first thing that we should touch on is an obvious one, but how would grandparents and parents even know if their kid is being bullied?
You know, more often than not, they don't. And that's a really sad thing, because a lot of the bullying occurs when it's out of the parents' or the grandparents' sight. So it's really about understanding your children. I think I make this mistake even as a parent myself, where you are not in the environment and in the space of your child's head. And what I mean by that is we expect kids to act and respond like adults, but they don't. We don't pay attention when they say they've got an issue, because it seems so small to us, but it's really big for them. And when kids feel like they don't know what to do with things, they don't have the emotional mechanism to deal with it, they act out. And sometimes it results in bullying.
And that makes a lot of sense, whether they are the bully or they're being bullied.
And sometimes you do get different responses to being bullied. Some people, when they are bullied, they retaliate and they act like bullies themselves, which is an issue. And that's how you have this whole situation perpetuate. So a victim becomes a bully, and then the bullying happens to somebody else who becomes a victim and then retaliates and becomes a bully. And you can see how this becomes a vicious circle. And then you do get the more common response, which is they sort of focus inwards and become more depressed and more isolated and more sort of withdrawn, which is the other type of response to bullying.
And from what I've seen online and stuff, a lot of the bullying isn't even happening in school anymore. It seems to be happening more on social media.
Yeah, cyberbullying is quite big. And again, it's very much a situation of kids not learning ways to, one, deal with emotions, and two, playing like kids and learning social skills. I think these days, because we are using phones and iPads and things like that so often, kids are not learning how to interact face-to-face appropriately. So this is how the whole cyberbullying thing occurs as well. That there's, you know, a lot of that stuff is occurring rapidly, which is really, really sad.
So a lot of parents right now are feeling a little helpless, not knowing what to do. Is there any advice you can give them?
Yep, spend time with your kids. It's as obvious that be really present. Teaching them how to deal with emotions, particularly anger and frustration. There are much better ways to deal with that sort of thing instead of just taking it out on other people. Things like learning how to get along with each other in a better way. So I think things like sporting clubs are really good to develop those sorts of skills, because these days I think kids are spending too much time inside and they're not working with other people outside. And I think we also face the problem of fixing the little problems for them. So instead of getting the kids to go, well, you've got a situation with little Johnny over there, how do you think you can handle it? Rather than, okay, let me just fix it for you.
Yeah.
We do a lot of that. And, you know, that doesn't develop social skills and problem solving and people management skills at all. So we need to really think about doing a lot more of that these days as well.
Excellent. Some great advice there. Sandra, thanks for sparing some time out today.
No problem. Thanks, Alan.
Pretty surprised to learn this news this morning when we walked in, and that is that Australian Border Force boss has been sacked for an abuse of power. Yes, Roman Quadvelig has been let go after trying to get his girlfriend a gig.
Which is not the first bloke to ever try and get their partner a gig.
I don't know why you would. Working with your partner sounds absolutely horrible to me.
No, but I wouldn't be into it myself. But,
but
you know,
he's tried.
Whatever floats your boat.
Turns out he was on a, you know, fair chunk of change as well. $500,000 a year, one of the highest paid public servants.
Yeah, around that. Might have even been a touch more, but yeah.
That's insane.
Certainly a well-paying gig. Mm-hmm. And claims are being made that he sent, get this, 14,000 text messages to his girlfriend. In that given year.
In a year?
And that's, you know, this is how it's come to light that he's been dismissed, is they've gone through, say, phone records and that sort of stuff. 14,000 texts to your missus in a year. I can't speak to, you know, what sort of a Border Force commissioner he was, but anyone that sends a girlfriend 14,000 texts in a year is a Stage 6 clinger.
That's a clinger.
That's a clinger.
Look, I love my wife. Before, I was going to really establish that before everything else that I say.
Good cover. Well done.
But that is too much.
No doubt.
What do you possibly have to say to someone with that many text messages? 14,000.
What's for dinner tonight? Is it still for dinner tonight? We're still having that for
dinner
tonight,
you're texting a word by word every text message instead of doing a sentence, what else would you be texting? That is insane.
It's dubious form, isn't it?
Jeez, no wonder he's been let go. It sounds like he wasn't doing any work. He was just spending all his time texting.
There we go.
How old is he? I assume 14 and a girl? Why is he texting so much? Just going through the stats here. That is a crazy amount of time you're texting someone.
Fair to assume he's old enough to know better.
Yeah, well, I think anyone over the age of 14 that we should know better than texting someone that much, that's insane. New relationships, you'd be on the phone for, you know, hours at a time, but texting someone that much, that is absurd. So we'll find out exactly what does happen with his role. It's going to be very, very busy there with Peter Dutton trying to figure all that out, but that's his problem. In the meantime, it looks like that Roman Quadvalik is going to be having to find a new role for not only himself, but probably his girlfriend as well.
And yet another busy day for Peter Dutton. Good luck to him.
Yeah, kudos to him. Wouldn't want that gig. Got a man on the line that knows one or two things when it comes to fishing from Wreckfish West. I've got Tim Gross. Morning, mate.
Good morning.
Let's talk salmon. I think everyone's talking about it at the moment. It seems that the population is up. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems to be started early. There is some talk around town that this year's run could be one of the best ever. And they've started to move some early signs, a bit of social media. So the buzz has definitely started.
Why is the numbers getting bigger? Why do you think, at least?
Well, it could be a number of factors. I mean, there is a couple of theories around the warmer water, so the Cape's current pushing up from down south, up along the coast, and obviously salmon move on the cooler currents. There's been theories that there hasn't been as much warmer currents pushing down, so the Leeuwin currents. But also, it's just the biomass of fish just seems to be growing every year, and good thing for WA fishers is they're nice and accessible for everyone.
Now, when it comes to catching salmon, what's the best advice you've got for us?
Best advice, definitely keep the sand between your toes. We've got some of the world's best beaches, if not the best beaches in Australia, and you can chase salmon up and down the beach with your family, your kids, your mates. The schools will sit 30 or 40 metres off and you can just throw lures all day at them. You don't need any bait. And they're really, one of Australia's most best land-based sports fish. So some people call them the barramundi of the south. And, they can grow to up to 6, 7, 8 kilos. So off the beach, they are fantastic game fish and something that everyone loves doing.
Excellent. And to your latest reports, whereabouts are the salmon now?
I got a hot tip this morning and some photos that there was some salmon at Hamelin Bay last night. But they're still quite low, where even towards Augusta, the big schools haven't come through Albany yet, so we're still probably a week away, but definitely there are some smaller schools making their way through the southwest. There were some at Bunkers, some at Hamelin, so you just got to get down to the local beach and just keep your eye open, because that school might swim past and you might not even know.
Yeah, geez, good advice there, mate. Thanks for the chat today, Tim.
No worries at all.
Geez, this brand new bridge, very exciting for a lot of people. Hopefully going to shave off a bunch of time when it comes to commuting to work there in the Treendale area.
Yeah, make it a bit easier getting in and around there.
We had a lot of calls this morning of people actually suggesting names of what it should be called. Because what's it formally called? It's a mouthful, isn't it? It's the Millbridge Treendale Bridge.
Yeah, that's it.
Whenever you have the word bridge twice in a bridge, I feel like that's a bit much.
That's a bridge too far.
The Sydney Harbour Bridge. Like, that would be weird. You can't call it that.
Yeah, indeed. No, good suggestion from Rod from Bunbury, who just said Treenbridge. Or the Treenbridge Bridge.
I argue that that's maybe too simple, Treenbridge. Yeah, I've been actually pushing pretty hard this morning to be called the Millie Treeny Bridge.
It's a rubbish idea.
Well, you say that, but I've got a feeling it's catching on. I don't know if you heard the traffic just before, but this is how it went.
Yep, everyone's talking about it this morning. Very exciting that for the first time you can drive across the Millbridge, Treendale Bridge, or some of the locals are calling it the Millie Treeny Bridge, across the Collie River. So hopefully you will enjoy that.
I smell a rat, Alan. Christy from traffic is normally a smart, intelligent woman. What are you doing, paying her in small unmarked bills? How did you get that across the line?
What are you talking about? All the locals are calling
it's
it now.
It's a rubbish idea.
It's catching on, the Millie Treeny Bridge. David Marshall on the line, the Vice Chairman of Harvey Main Street, to talk all things about the Harvey Harvest Festival. Mate, morning to you.
Hey, g'day, Alan. How you going?
Talk me through. I'm doing well. Talk me through the amount of planning that's gone into putting this on this weekend.
Basically about 20 years of planning, because it's our 20th anniversary. So every year we sit down afterwards, straight after the event, review it, go through what worked, what didn't work, and then plan for the next one. But obviously this one being the 20th is pretty significant for us, so there's been a lot of work go into it.
Absolutely, mate. Well, it's an event that just continues to grow and grow and grow.
It does.
And one particular part that I think a lot of people love is the WA Grape Stomping Competition. Mate, tell me all about this.
Well, it's basically something that's happened right from the very beginning. We had a grape stomp back in 1999 when we first started. It wasn't part of the main, you know, part of the festival. It was just something in the festival. And it was more about fun. You could just come along, chuck your shoes off, you know, jump in a barrel and have a go, basically. Yeah. But it was really taken on board by people. And so after a few years of doing that and getting lots of people wanting to have a go and lots of kids wanting to have a go, we started to get a bit serious about it. And in the end, registered the name WA Grape Stomping Championships. And so now it's a big gig. People come from all over the place. There's prize money. You know, there's heats that lead up to it, and then you have the big finals at 2:30 in the afternoon, and you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, Alan, than the WA Grape Stomping Championship finals. It's frenetic.
Sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting. I imagine, a lot of local visitors, but also a lot of outsiders as well.
There is, to both the festival and the Grape Stomping Championship. So I'm actually looking at the trophy at the moment, because there's a trophy that goes with the prize. And, you know, we've had people from Taiwan and people from the UK, various parts of Europe that have been here, usually backpacking or whatever around the southwest, hear about it and think, well, you know, this could be an easy way to earn some cash. So they'll definitely get into that side of things. But the actual festival itself, I mean, usually it's hard to quantify numbers because it's a free festival, so people can come at it from all different angles. But generally, we're looking at 10,000 or more people coming on the day, and it's just packed. And you have a look at the number plates of the cars that are in town, and they're from all over the place.
That's really good to see. It's also good to see that our Lottery West as well gave you a $20,000 grant towards the festival.
Yeah, look, without our sponsors, you know, these days events like this just don't work without sponsors. So, it's been fantastic in that context. And so you've got Lottery West and Healthways. It's titled the Live Lighter Harvey Harvest Festival. So Healthways, Shire of Harvey, Great Alcoa, a whole range of different sponsors that help us do what we do, and that's put on a big free showcase of all things Harvey.
So it's all happening on Sunday. What time does it all kick off, mate?
It kicks off at 9 o'clock in the morning and runs through till about 4 p.m.
Thanks for sparing some time out of your day to chat to me.
No problem at all, Alan, and hope to see you there on Sunday.